You have your Bible with you tonight. Would ask you to turn, please, to the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the New Testament, to the chapter number 26 and to the verse number 13 of that chapter. We're turning tonight in God's Word to the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the early part of the New Testament, and the chapter 26, and reading from the verse number 13 of the chapter. Let us hear God's precious word as we just read it together this evening. Here we have the Apostle Paul, and he's speaking to King Agrippa. He says in verse 13, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." And then said Agrippa unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 32. And we pray that God will add his own blessing to the public reading of his infallible and eternal word to all of our hearts this evening. I would ask you to turn again, please, to that passage of scripture that we read earlier, to the book of the Acts and the chapter number 26. And just with God's word open before us, let us bow in a short word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for that sense of Thy presence with us already in this gathering. We pray, Lord, that Thou would increase that sense of Thy presence further among us this evening. Father, we pray that Thou will draw near. We think, O God, of how the Saviour drew near to the two on the road to Emmaus, and how He Himself opened up to them the Scriptures, and their hearts did burn within them. Will He talk with them by the way? Father, we pray that that would be our portion this evening. Lord, cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood from all sin. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Lord, give help and enablement and wisdom and counsel and direction, Lord, for this meeting and the preaching, Lord, of Thy Word. Let nothing be said, O God, that is not of Thee. Let the words of man fall to the ground. But, O God, let the word of the Lord prevail in hearts tonight. May it be used to the building up of Thy people in their most holy faith. May it be used, O God, to the conversion of sinners, be the young or be the old alike. And Lord, use it, O God, we pray, to the glorifying of our Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this gospel meeting this evening is verse number 28 of this 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. That verse simply says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now it is a great mercy for any monarch to hear the gospel. Edward VI, the boy king of England, had that wonderful privilege through the ministry of Bishop Latimer, one of the Protestant reformers of a bygone era. Well, whenever we come here to Acts chapter 26, we see that Agrippa, king of Galilee, has this same privilege and mercy as well through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Now, at this juncture in his life, Paul is being tried for his faith in Christ. In Acts chapter 24, you read of him there before Felix, the Roman governor. In Acts chapter 25, you find him before Festus, another governor. And then here in chapter 26, we find him before Agrippa the king. If you look at verse 1 of this chapter, you'll see here that Agrippa allows Paul to speak in his own defense and to give his own defense. It says in verse 1, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself." And how did Paul answer for himself as he stood here in trial before King Agrippa? Well, he gives a word of testimony. He tells of what his life was like before he was saved, before he was converted to Christ. It tells of how he persecuted the Christians, how he was opposed to the name of Christ. He put God's people in prison, even consenting to their very death. Look at what he says in verses 9 through to verse 11 of the chapter. He says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them, even unto strange cities." And that's what Paul's life was like before he was saved by the grace of God. But as he goes on here speaking further to King Agrippa, he goes on then to speak about his glorious conversion to Christ on the Damascus Road. This was an experience, a reality in his life that the Apostle Paul never lost sight of. Look at what he says in verses 13 and 14 and 15 of the chapter. He says, "At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun. My, the light of heaven was greater than the brightness of the midday sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And my, from that day onward, from that experience of meeting with the risen Christ, the Christ who was crucified, who had risen again, Paul's life was never the same. It was dramatically changed by the grace of God. As Paul goes on here to speak to King Agrippa, he then goes on to tell of how God had called him to preach the gospel in particular to the Gentile people, and how he obeyed that call in his life. Look at what he says in verse 19. He says, Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. And what a word there is there, what an example there is there to you and I who are saved by the grace of God, when the Lord speaks to us and challenges our heart about serving him and doing something for him. We should not shrink back, but we should go forward in the strength of the Lord and be not disobedient to the gifts and the callings of God in our life. And this is how it was with the Apostle Paul. And following on from this and giving his own credentials, Paul then presents the gospel faithfully to King Agrippa. He speaks to Agrippa about Christ's death upon the cross, how Christ was crucified on the cross for man's sin. He speaks to Agrippa about Christ's resurrection from the dead. And as Agrippa himself was a Jew, he tells him how this was the message of the Bible, in particular the message of the Old Testament prophets. And then he applies the gospel to Agrippa's heart, to Agrippa's conscience. Look at what he says to him in verse 27 of the chapter. He says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And by the faithful witness of Paul, it stirs the heart of Agrippa. It touches his mind, it touches his conscience, so much so that he exclaims to Paul, in the words of our text, he says, Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He was almost persuaded to be a Christian. He was almost persuaded to be converted to Christ, but although he was almost persuaded, still he was not a Christian. Still he was not saved. He was still a lost sinner on his way to a lost eternity in hell. And friends, tonight in this gospel meeting, it is these words of Agrippa to Paul when he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, that I want us to think upon this evening. My prayer for you in the meeting tonight, if you are still unsaved, be you a young person, a boy or a girl, or an older person in this meeting this evening, our prayer is that as we consider these words of Agrippa of old, that you will see your need of Christ, that you will feel your need of Christ, that even this very night you'll come and put your faith and trust in him for salvation. There are three things I want you to note about these words when Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Notice first of all here with me Paul's desire for Agrippa. What was Paul's desire for Agrippa? Well, we can answer that question from what our text says. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And there you see that Paul's desire for Agrippa was that Agrippa would be saved. He wanted this man to be saved from his sins and to be right with God. And Paul reiterates that same desire in the very next verse, in verse number 29. It says, And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds.
Paul wanted Agrippa to be saved. That was the burden of his soul. That was the desire of Paul, not only for Agrippa, but for all that he met with in the providence of God. Dear unsaved friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this is my prayer and my burden for you in this gospel meeting. And I know it is also the prayer and the burden of all God's people here for you tonight. If you're still unsaved, if you're still out of Christ, that this very night you would become a Christian. That this very night you would get right with God and that you would be converted to Christ. This was Paul's desire for Agrippa. And this is our desire for you tonight, if you're still not saved, that you would become a Christian. That you would be converted to the Lord. If you look at verse 18 here of this chapter, there Paul is speaking to Agrippa about how God had spoken to Paul about his ministry among the Gentiles and what he was to preach and what he was to teach to the people. And in that verse 18 in particular, he shows King Agrippa what a Christian is, what it means to be a Christian. Look at the beginning there of verse number 18. It says, to open their eyes. And a Christian is one who sees their personal need as a lost sinner and behold before a holy God. In other words, the eyes of their spiritual understanding are opened. Remember the old publican who was saved? He cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He saw and he felt his need as a sinner before God. And dear friend, if you are to be a Christian, you must see your need as a sinner before God. You must take your place as a sinner before God Almighty, before God your Creator. Yes, a Christian is one who sees their need as a lost sinner before God. Notice again further there from verse number 18, notice the words to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. What is a Christian? A Christian is one who turns to God. A Christian is one who repents of their sin before God. What was the preaching of Christ here on earth? Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Dear friend, if you are to be a Christian, you must turn to God. There must be a turning to God in your life. There must be repentance from sin in your life. A turning from sin, a turning to God. Look again at verse number 18. Notice further on down that verse. Notice the words that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. What is a Christian? A Christian is one whose sins are forgiven. Whose sins are pardoned, whose sins are blotted out before God by the precious blood of Christ shed upon the cross of Calvary. And friend, in our meeting tonight, if you are to be a Christian, your sins must be pardoned by God. Your sins must be forgiven by God Almighty. And my, the good news of the gospel is this, that only the blood of Christ shed upon Calvary's cross, only that blood and that blood alone can blot out your sin before Almighty God. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It is not our money that can take away our sins before God. It is not our works, no matter how good those works are, no matter how many those works are. It is not our self-righteousness that can hide our sin from God's view. It is not the ordinances of the church, this church or any other church, or no matter how orthodox that church may be. Friend, there is only one remedy that can blot out your sin before God Almighty, and that is the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. The hymn writer says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look again further there at verse number 18, and notice the words here as the Lord speaks to Paul by faith. That is in me. The Lord, remember, here was speaking to Paul, and Paul is reiterating what the Lord had said to him before Agrippa. What is a Christian? What is a person who is God's salvation? It is someone whose faith is in Christ, who are trusting in Christ alone for salvation. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." The word of the Lord declares, "The just shall live by faith." Friend, if you are to be a Christian, you are to be saved, you are to be converted, you must trust in Christ alone, in His blood alone to wash away your sins. You must trust Him, receive Him by faith alone to be your own and personal Savior. He says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." You remember the jailer who said to Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Friend, are you trusting tonight in Christ? Christ alone for salvation? Then notice further on down that verse 18, notice the words where Paul speaks of, and he says, "An inheritance among them that are sanctified." What is a Christian? Well, a Christian is one who is sanctified. The word there means set apart unto God. A holy man, a holy woman, a holy young person, one who loves the Lord, one who delights in the Word of God. What does that inheritance speak to us of? It speaks to us of heaven, the place of eternal life and eternal joy and blessing in the immediate presence of God forevermore. My, the psalmist David could speak of that in his own life. In Psalm 23, he speaks to us about heaven. He says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." My, he rejoiced in the word of the Lord. He could say the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You see, Paul wanted to see Agrippa saved. Paul wanted to see this man Agrippa living for God, living for the Word of God. Paul wanted to see this man Agrippa saved from the wrath to come, saved from a lost eternity, my safe and secure in heaven itself forevermore. This is why he desired Agrippa to become a Christian. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, this is why we want you also to become a Christian. We want to see your life changed by the grace of God. We want to see you living for the glory of God, rejoicing in God, rejoicing in God's salvation, rejoicing in the word of the Lord. Having that assurance when you come to die, it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord for your soul, with Christ forever and ever, forevermore. Why, this is why we want you to be saved. So that one day you will leave this scene of time and you will be with Christ, which is far better. You'll have the gift of God, which is eternal life, dwelling in your heart. And in your soul, my Paul had a burden for this man Agrippa, that he would become a Christian. Friend, our burden tonight is that you'd become a Christian. There's Christians in this meeting tonight, and they're praying and have been praying for you, maybe for many's a year, for many's a day, that you would become a Christian, that you'd be converted and right with God. Yes, we see Paul's desire for Agrippa. But notice, secondly tonight, not only Paul's desire for Agrippa, but notice the response of King Agrippa. Look at our text there, verse 28 of Acts 26. It says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And my, from that answer that he gives and from those words that are spoken, you can see there very plainly and very evidently, by using that word "almost" and that phrase "almost persuaded," that Agrippa was saying no to Christ. Agrippa was saying no to being saved. Agrippa was saying no to becoming a Christian. He was rejecting the gospel message. His response is similar to Felix. Turn back there to Acts chapter 24, just a little while back from our Bible reading, and verse number 25, and Felix too was a Roman governor, and Paul spoke to him, he reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. But look at the response of Felix to the gospel in the final part of verse 25 of Acts chapter 24. Felix trembled, yes, Felix too was touched, yet he answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." My Felix too was saying no to becoming a Christian. He was saying no to conversion to Christ. My too, we can say Agrippa was like that rich young ruler who came to Christ, who met with Christ personally here on earth. Yet the Bible speaks of him and says he went away grieved, for he had much possessions. He turned away from the Savior, the only one who could help him, the only one who could do him good. Dear friend in the meeting tonight, let me ask, what is your response to the gospel tonight? What is your response? Is it the same as this man, King Agrippa? Maybe you've often been told about your need to be saved and your need to get right with God. You are no stranger to the gospel. You've often heard of your need to trust Christ personally as your Savior and only remedy from sin. Yet you procrastinate. Yet you say no to Christ. Yet you say no to being saved. You say no to becoming a Christian. You're not prepared to step out in faith and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Am I speaking to one? Is that how it is with you in this meeting tonight? Let me say this, that God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised it to your procrastination. Understand this tonight, that you can never become a Christian if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. There is no hope for your soul, no matter who you are, no matter what you might think, or no matter what others may have told you. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ personally as Savior, there is no hope of God's so great salvation for you. I pray that you'll not be like this man Agrippa. Yes, Agrippa said no to Christ. But it's very interesting to note here from the scene before us that Agrippa's response to the gospel was made before others. And these others had an influence upon his choice at that time. Look at chapter 25 and the verse number 23. And here you read of the others who were on the scene at that particular time. Acts chapter 25 and verse number 23, it says, "On the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice with great pomp, and was entered into the palace of the place of the hearing, with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forth." Yes, Paul was there at that hearing. He was giving his own defense. Agrippa was there, if you like, the judge presiding, listening to the evidence. But there were others there that day. There was Bernice. There was Festus. We're told that there were chief captains. There were principal men of the city. They too were watching. They too were listening. They too were looking on. And this all had a bearing upon the choice that Agrippa made. Who was Bernice? My credible Jewish historians tell us that she was a most immoral woman. And she was living at this particular time in an immoral relationship with King Agrippa. And my, you can see the scene for yourself. Agrippa did not want to become a Christian because he knew that this sinful relationship with Bernice would have to end. Agrippa was a man who loved the sin, as the Bible says. He loved darkness rather than light. Bernice was there. Festus was there. What kind of a man was Festus? What was his thoughts on the gospel and the Christians? Look at chapter 26 and verse number 24. It says, "And as he thus spake for himself," that is Paul, "Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. He says, Paul, you're a madman for becoming a Christian. He says, Paul, you're a fool for saying what you've said about the Lord Jesus Christ and owning him as Savior. Agrippa heard that. Agrippa had seen the response of Festus. Agrippa did not want to become a Christian, for he did not want to be called a madman. He did not want to be called a fool. He wanted to be popular with the crowd. He wanted to fit in that day. You see, the Bible says, the fear of man, it bringeth a snare. And how powerful a thing is the fear of man, how powerful it is. Festus was there, Bernice was there, and Paul himself was there. And what was Paul? What was his condition at this time? At this time, Paul was a prisoner for the gospel. He was in chains and in fetters. He was bound for the gospel. He was bearing reproach for the gospel and the name of Christ as Savior. There you can see Agrippa did not want to become a Christian, for he did not want to suffer as a Christian and bear reproach as a Christian, just like the Apostle Paul. He was not willing to bear the cross for Christ. He had the spirit of Demas, of whom the Bible says he loved this present world more than Christ. Agrippa had not the spirit of Moses. What does the Bible say of Moses? He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than all the treasures of Egypt and all the courts of Pharaoh. Agrippa did not want to bear reproach for Christ. Agrippa wanted to fit in with the crowd. Agrippa was not willing to repent of his sin and to turn from his sin unto God. Friend, let me ask you the question tonight. Why is it that you are still not saved? Why is it that you are still not a Christian? You've heard the gospel many, many times. Why are you still unsaved? Is it a love for your sin? Are you not prepared? Are you not willing to give up your sin and repent of your sin? Let me tell you tonight, the Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. Maybe it's the fear of man. Maybe you're afraid what others will say, what others will think. The Bible says the fear of man, it bringeth a snare. Or is it the friendship of the world, the things of this evil, ungodly world? Let me say this, the Bible says the friendship of the world is enmity to God. Are you prepared to forfeit God's salvation for these things? Are you selling your soul for these things? The Bible says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You remember the rich farmer who did well, who said to himself, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. What did God say to him? He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. It's a foolish thing for any man, any woman, any young person, no matter who we are, to turn our back upon the gospel and upon the claims of Jesus Christ for salvation. The response of Agrippa, the desire of Paul for Agrippa. But notice finally tonight the outcome for Agrippa. In her text he says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You think of those words, by not being persuaded to become a Christian, by not trusting Christ as Savior. What was Agrippa doing? He was forfeiting the blessings of God's so great salvation. In many ways we could say he was like an ill man who turns his back upon the medicine that the doctor has prescribed for his need and for his health. He was turning his back upon the only remedy for his soul. He was saying no to peace with God. He was saying no to the forgiveness of all of his sins. He was saying no to communion with God. He was saying no to a place in heaven. He was saying no to having Christ as that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He was saying no to God's provision and presence and bounty in his life. He was saying no to God's salvation in his soul. You see, the Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son have life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him." Instead of heaven, he was choosing eternal judgment, eternal punishment, eternal wrath and damnation for his soul in hell. The Bible says, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Oh, dear friend, tonight, unsaved, be warned, when you reject Christ, you too are saying no to heaven. You too are saying no to the blessings of God's so great salvation for your soul. For did not Jesus say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is no heaven for you apart from Christ. He says, "And ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come." Am I to go on without Christ is to go on without your sins forgiven. If you die in that state, you will never be with the Lord in God's heaven forevermore. You know, we can say in not becoming a Christian and in rejecting Christ as Savior, Agrippa was committing the unpardonable sin. He was trampling the blood of Christ under his feet. And there is no hope for anyone who rejects the blood of Christ as the only remedy for their sin and as the only remedy for their soul. You turn in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 10. And here you read of the outcome for those who reject the blood of Christ as the only remedy of salvation. It says in Hebrews 10 verse 29, "Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who have trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." There's no hope for those who reject the blood of Christ, who turn their back on the atoning sacrifice of Christ for them, for their salvation. There is no hope. Also, in spurning the gospel, Agrippa was increasing the guilt of his sin. He had the great privilege of hearing the gospel from the Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher, missionary, evangelist outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And my, in rejecting the gospel, what was Agrippa doing? He was increasing the guilt of his sin before God. Friend, if you reject the gospel after hearing it once, it's an awful thing. But if you reject the gospel after hearing it many, many times, what are you doing? You are but increasing the guilt of your sin and the guilt of your soul before God. And if you die in that state, your punishment in hell will be far worse than those who have had less privileges than you. The Bible says it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And then in rejecting Christ at this particular time, we can also say that Agrippa was rejecting Christ for the last time. You see, never again in the Bible do you read of him hearing the gospel. Never again does God's word speak of him hearing the gospel and somebody speaking to him and witnessing to this man about his need of Christ and need of salvation. This was the last sermon that he heard that we read of in the scriptures. And dear unsaved friend, tonight be warned, there is a last time for everything. There's a last time for hearing the gospel. The Bible says, "He that been often reproved, hardened of his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Unsaved friend, what if tonight was the last time you were to hear the gospel? What if tonight you were to die in your sin? Where would your soul be? Your soul would be lost and hell forever. What if tonight, after hearing the gospel, you were to be cut off suddenly and swiftly from the scene of time? Did not David say, "There is but a step between me and death"? Think of how many we hear of day and daily in our media and the news and the papers, young and old alike, cut off in a moment of time in the very prime of life, taken out into God's eternity. Friend, what if after tonight God should cease to speak to your soul? God speaks, yes, once, twice, but God also stops speaking. Because he says in his word, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." What if God were to cease speaking to your soul after tonight? Dear friend, what if after tonight your soul and your heart was to harden in your sin? You see, the Bible says today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Yes, we read of hearts that are soft to the gospel, to the things of God. But it is also a reality, a most solemn reality, that hearts can grow hard. Hearts can grow cold. They can come as hard as an adamant stone before God. You think of Pharaoh tonight. He heard the voice of God. He said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" And Pharaoh hardened his heart, and God allowed his heart to harden. Time came when God spake no more to Pharaoh. What if tonight, unsafe friend, you're to be taken out into eternity? What if tonight, after tonight, God should cease to speak to you? What if after tonight your heart were to harden in your sin? What an awful end, what an awful tragedy. It is said of Elvis Presley, as a young boy, he heard the gospel many, many times. It is said on shortly before his death that a friend spoke to him about his need to get right with God and to prepare for eternity. And after Elvis Presley heard those remarks and what his friend said, he said, "Never you speak to me again about that matter." And shortly afterwards, sometime after that, his soul was ushered out into God's eternity, taken out of this scene of time. Friend, tonight in our meeting, what if tonight your soul would be required of you? Where would you be? Where would you be in eternity? Dear friend, if you die unsaved, if your soul is required of you tonight and you're found unsaved in that state and that condition, please understand that your soul will be lost, lost in hell forever and ever, without hope and without God. Dear friend, if you are to be in heaven, if you are to become a Christian, then you need to come to Christ. As a repentant sinner, realizing that he died on the cross for you, confess your sin to him, your need of him, and call upon him for mercy. Call upon him for salvation. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Lord invites you to come to him. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Friend, there's a remedy tonight for your sin, a remedy for your soul. It's not in yourself, it's not in the church or anything of man, but it is in the person and in the work of God's dear Son. Don't you be like Agrippa. Don't turn away from Christ, but be like Paul. Embrace Christ. Trust him as your own and personal Savior. Know your sins dealt with, put away by the blood of the Lamb. Know what it is to be saved by God's grace forevermore. Know what it is to be ready and be sure of heaven. We're going to close our meeting tonight, singing together.